So what would the Shawanigan-Nicolet National Forest be without the old Civilian Conservation Corps? It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, in for Kate Archer-Canton. What about Devil's Lake State Park in Sauk County or Wyalusing State Park along the Mississippi? As we plan for our future, our next guests are making the case for returning to a program of our past. But does a Depression-era jobs program have a place in today's economy? Might our state's past commitment to conservation offer future economic opportunities? Be interested in hearing from you about the proposal for a Civilian Conservation Corps at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Our guest this morning, Gerald Edelman, is the president and CEO of Open Lands. Jerry, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, great to be with you. Good morning.
Also joining us this morning, good morning, Daniela Pereira, the organization's vice president of community conservation. Daniela, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Jerry, I'm going to begin with you and ask you to dial back the clock and give us a little bit of history about the old Civilian Conservation Corps, one of those big government programs that FDR started during the Great Depression. Overall, employing about 3 million people nationwide, what did this program do?
Well, it was an extraordinary program. As you said, 3 million men at that time, over 9 years. They planted 2 billion trees. They created over 800 new state parks, 13,000 miles of hiking trails, a huge focus on fire prevention and reforestation, but also soil conservation. I'm sure we all remember Grapes of Wrath, you know, and the dust storms and so forth. There were challenges across the country. But this was the most successful program of the New Deal. It also transformed these young men's lives in many cases and gave them new tools and an understanding of environmental issues. Many would argue it gave birth to the environmental movement in a broad sense. So the legacy that it left, you know, was extraordinary. We still benefit from it today. And it impacted people's lives, you know, when we had the greatest unemployment figures in American history.
If it was such a beneficial federal program, Jerry, what happened to the Civilian Conservation Corps?
World War II. So most of the New Deal programs ended, and we went into a whole different mode, obviously, of preparing to enter, you know, World War II and all of the issues that and challenges that raised. So those improvements, though, continued. Obviously, we benefit from them today. You have your state parks and trails and wonderful resources in Wisconsin, we do in Illinois, all over the country. You know, in a way, it was unfortunate that the program ended, but it was a very different chapter in American history.
Sure. And Daniela, as we look across Wisconsin and throughout the Midwest, what are some of the projects from the old Civilian Conservation Corps that we can still see today?
Well, as you mentioned, a couple of them in Wisconsin that are still there. You know, most of the state parks were actually built at that time. And not only the trails or, you know, preservation of those grounds, but actually a lot of the infrastructure from buildings to, the drinking fountains to miles and miles of pipe laid for bringing in fresh water. What we're seeing even through our national park system, a lot of that was created by the work of all these men over, you know, the 9 years that they were there. Unfortunately, what we're seeing now is a lot of this has been in disrepair. There has not been as much focus and attention to, you know, really take care of the backlog of a lot of these projects. And a lot of the people who had been working on taking care of the maintenance and restoration of a lot of the buildings and land and water are retiring. So there needs to really be a focus and intention on getting people back into learning some of the trades, appreciating some of what we have and what we can have in the near future.
Is it time for a new Civilian Conservation Corps? What would you like to see this relief program accomplish? climate change, putting people back to work, connecting people to nature. 1-800-642-1234 is the number to the studio. Is this a good idea? Diana and Blair, you're on the morning show. Good morning.
Good morning. I strongly support a conservation corps. I've seen the results in many visits to parks, but Wisconsin has a conservation corps. It's called Wisconsin Conservation Corps. It's based out of La Crosse, Wisconsin, in the Marik Park area, and they are now hiring recruiting crew leaders and members to be a part of our roving crews for the spring, summer, and fall seasons. I can give you the contact information if you'd like.
I would be interested in learning more about the Wisconsin Conservation Corps. I don't want to give anybody's contact information on the air without permission, however. How about we put you on hold, get that information, and put it up on our website, Diana?
That's fine.
All right, we're going to put you on hold here and get that information, and you'll find it later this morning at WPR.org/mornings. So, Daniela, as Diana mentioned there, mm-hmm. there are programs going on across the Midwest, a conservation corps,
yes.
But why would we want to expand that to a federal program?
Well, I do want to mention that Wisconsin has always had very strong conservation corps, and one of the changes over time is, other than working in sort of remote, natural, maybe wilderness areas, there are also urban corps. In Milwaukee, you have Cream City Corps. In Madison, Wisconsin, you have Operation Fresh Start. And, you know, this gives people work within those areas to do stewardship projects because there is natural space in urban areas, too. From working on urban gardens and green schoolyards and recycling programs. What we have now is great. What we can have would be greater. So it is to help support and fund the corps that already do exist, expand what they can do with resources, but to also help create and connect some of these other corps that maybe are not part of the network of the core network or national and community service. And, you know, hopefully this would create a whole generation of, you know, skilled workers, you know, educated and active citizens, future leaders, you know, by providing this training and employment on land that so many of us have really been engaged with, especially in this last year of pandemic.
Yeah, and if I could just add, you know, I think that we're facing today this intersecting challenges of climate, racial justice, high unemployment, economic challenges. So to build, you know, kind of an equitable, inclusive, and forward-thinking new generation of corps would be fantastic. But as Daniela says, we already have them. Some are federal, some are local, state. Take them to scale. They're still relatively modest, but then also allow for new groups to be formed to address a much broader range of projects and issues, you know, from core, the hearts of large American cities to wilderness areas and everything in between. A program that, you know, would be flexible and comprehensive and really be tailored to the unique challenges and opportunities that each state and each region faces.
We're talking about a proposal to start a new civilian conservation corps with two members of Open Lands from northeastern Illinois. Jerry Edelman is the lead of the organization, and Daniela Pereira is vice president of community conservation. Interested in your take on this at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Chris from Port Wing, you're on the morning show. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for this wonderful topic. My comment is going to echo your guest a little bit, but I immediately thought that with the racial inequalities we've got in urban areas, this is a natural program to bring people up to a higher standard of living, get people some education and employment, bring them up to the North Woods, revitalize our forests, and it turns into a benefit for the dramatic challenge of climate change, because we can plant millions and millions of trees. And I live within walking distance of the Schwamigan-Nicolet, and I can just see the effect that we had all those years ago with that other program. It's another thing that the CCC members in the past sent most of their money that they earned back home, and so it helped revitalize their own neighborhood, because they were up in the Northland and other remote areas. They didn't have a lot of place to spend the money, and they wanted to support their families. It was a regenerative economic program that the money just circulated in their own communities. It's a wonderful idea. I hope we get some traction with it, and we're certainly going to support it up here.
Chris, thank you for the call. And Jerry, as we look at a proposal for a new civilian conservation corps, what's the biggest obstacle?
I think, obviously, the funding. I mean, that's the biggest obstacle facing the president's infrastructure proposal, and you know, how do we pay for it? But it's also coming up with the right program that would be flexible enough to take to scale the existing groups that we've talked about, but create new ones where they aren't in place, build in equity to make sure that it is a program that will impact especially people from underserved communities, make sure that you've got the training and the skills development, the apprenticeship and so forth components that are there, be holistic in terms of the nature of work too, so that it can play well anywhere across the country. So I think a big challenge is coming up with the right structure, the right framework that would play in our territories and tribal lands and big cities and suburbs and rural areas and wilderness. And Senator Durbin has put together a proposal that we have worked with him very closely on that does really all of those things.
The senior senator from Illinois and the second highest ranking Democrat in the Senate, making him one of the most powerful men in America. And he happens to be one of those who is currently championing the proposal for a new civilian conservation corps. If you're unemployed, would you welcome the chance to work for a civilian conservation corps? Would you like to go plant trees, improve wildlife areas? And what about Wisconsin that we see today that tracks back to the old civilian conservation corps that can make a case for or against a new one? We're taking a look at the CCC, past, present, and future, this morning with you at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Jerry Adelman is the president and CEO of Open Lands. Daniela Pereira is the organization's VP of Community Conservation. And I'm Lee Rayburn. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Aldo Leopold was a supervisor in the old Civilian Conservation Corps. He oversaw erosion control and forestry projects in Arizona and New Mexico. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and other alums of the old CCC include test pilot Chuck Yeager, Baseball Hall of Fame slugger Stan Musial, and Oscar winner Walter Matthau, an angry old man. Our guests are here on behalf of a new civilian conservation corps, and we're weighing the pros and cons with you this morning at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Gerald Adelman is the president and CEO of Open Lands, and Daniela Pereira is the organization's vice president of community conservation. And Jerry, as you mentioned before, your work does have the support of a very prominent senator in the U.S. There is legislation to create a new civilian conservation corps. What is the likelihood that that legislation is going to get any momentum anytime in the near future?
Well, what's really encouraging is that there's a groundswell of interest and support. And so it's not just Senator Durbin. It's also some very prominent members of the Senate, Senator Coons from Delaware, Senator Wyden from Oregon. Actually, Senator Durbin has not reintroduced his bill from last year yet because he's trying to reach out. We're working with him on that to the conservation groups, local governments, and others to make sure that it incorporates all of the key ingredients for success. I think in the end, none of these bills will pass as freestanding legislation. That what we hope is that they would be incorporated in a comprehensive way, you know, into the infrastructure bill. And as you know, just, 2 days ago, our president unveiled his domestic plan, first phase for infrastructure. He calls for $10 billion for a civilian climate corps, which parallels beautifully the Durbin and other plans that are there. So there's some differences between them, but I think that can be negotiated and worked out to make sure that there's a consensus program. And how it all happens, I don't know. This is sort of a new time in Washington, needless to say. And I don't think any of us know exactly the path forward, but there's so much support and momentum. A recent article in the New Yorker said, you know, that the Civilian Climate Corps is a big government plan, but a plan that all Americans can embrace because it has so many economic, environmental, and human benefits.
A $10 billion price tag in the president's proposed budget for infrastructure. And what was the cost in Senator Durbin's bill for the new Civilian Conservation Corps?
Almost $56 billion. It would put 1 million people to work over a five-year period. And there's a very good business plan to support that. We were very lucky. A fellow named Dean Fisher, who's the founder of West Monroe Partners, great conservationist, they do business planning, and they took this on and really did all the numbers. So we have a solid, realistic business plan to support that those numbers. And again, the impact would be huge. Addressing climate challenges, deferred infrastructure, you know, maintenance issues, creating new public spaces, but also impacting these lives. And this would be a program not just focused on young men, but on people of all backgrounds, with a very important diversity component to make sure that the composition of the core groups, wherever they are, let's say it's the city of Milwaukee or the state of Wisconsin, but those groups would have to reflect the demographics of the geography in which they're working.
That would be a stark difference or contrast from the old Civilian Conservation Corps during the Great Depression leading up to World War II. So does a new Civilian Conservation Corps speak to you and the needs of Wisconsin and the infrastructure beneath our feet? 1-800-642-1234 is the number to the studio. Email ideas at WPR.org. Robert and Toma, you're on the morning show. Good morning.
Thank you. And I hope they do bring this back because I did it, and it was the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And
What did you do with you were with the Wisconsin Conservation Corps, Robert?
Yes, sir, in Fort McCoy.
What'd you do for them?
Exactly what you're saying, the planting trees and all that stuff. And the AmeriCorps grant, when they added that in, it was a livable wage, and I would have never saved $14,000 for college, even if I would have made $15 an hour.
Wow. And how long ago was this, Robert?
Gosh, it was like 10, 15 years ago, maybe even 20 years with the Wisconsin Conservation Corps.
And what of that work do you take with you to this day?
I'm doing it right now. You know, I went to college with that money. I did what I wanted to do. And, you know, life happens and things change. And I've always fell back on this.
Important part of your life, Robert?
Yep, that was essential, so I've been working all the time.
I very much appreciate it. Daniela Pereira is the Vice President of Open Lands in Northeastern Illinois, one of the organizations supporting a new Civilian Conservation Corps. And Daniela, what is some of the work that you would see this new Civilian Conservation Corps doing, much like what we've heard already?
Yes. There, you know, a couple other things that we need to also, you know, broaden, I guess, would be, you know, we have these wonderful conservation projects that happen, including, you know, tree planting, but who's going to take care of the maintenance? Who's going to take out invasive species, maintain those trees so they actually do survive and establish? You know, it's that long-term care there, but there's also stream bank restoration, building of bridges, improving any of the paths through a lot of our natural areas. But then, you know, even going into urban areas, like I said, you know, stormwater management is a huge thing right now. A lot of our water departments are under a consent decree to actually capture water where it's falling so it doesn't run into sewers, into combined sewers, and then flood people's basements. And so infrastructure projects around building green schoolyards, bioswales, and it's a brand new, you know, green infrastructure sort of technology that is happening, which is actually trying to change up jobs for the future. We will need sort of these skills in conservation within urban areas too. It's not just something for, you know, up in the North Woods. And so one of the things that we keep looking at is how do we create apprenticeship programs, registered apprenticeship programs with the Department of Labor to be able to, you know, give people not only this background if they're going to, you know, work in these cores for up to a year, but how do then they take that and then extend that into a career pathway?
Like Robert.
Really, yeah, and well, one thing, Milwaukee has Arborist Registered Apprenticeship Program that we looked on. You know, they're one of the first in the country that has done that, and it's actually giving training and education to their employees to actually extend into their lives and build into these stronger careers. So,
Danielle, I don't mean to cut you off. We've got the news coming up, and I apologize. That's Daniela Pereira from Openlands. Also joining us, Jerry Adelman from Openlands. And of debate this morning is a proposal for a new Civilian Conservation Corps federalized labor workforce for conservation, for the environment, for infrastructure, not just in our rural areas, but urban as well. We'll get your reaction after the news on The Morning Show. Once upon a time in America, we had a tree army. Known as Roosevelt's Tree Army, the Civilian Conservation Corps is credited with planting more than 3.5 billion trees across the country before being disbanded in 1942 at the outset of the Second World War. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent. And before you discount the idea of the federal government creating a new Civilian Conservation Corps, consider the legislation to create it as being supported by the second most powerful Democratic senator, Dick Durbin from Illinois. Will it have your support? How about the senators from Wisconsin? Interested in your reaction to the proposal for a new CCC this morning at 1-800-642-1234. Always take your emails at ideas@wpr.org. Our guests from Openlands, President and CEO Gerald Adelman and Daniela Pereira, who is the organization's Vice President of Community Conservation. And I don't know who's best to answer this, but we did get an call from Dave from Green Bay. Couldn't stay with us, but he said we have a conservation corps operated by the Menominee Nation in Wisconsin, and it produces some of the finest wood you will find anywhere. And it happens to be a great model for what is being proposed this morning. I'd be curious to know how the new proposal for a Civilian Conservation Corps will take into account our First Nations programs already in progress.
Well,
Jerry?
Yeah, Lee, I'll respond to that initially. First of all, 10% of all the funding would go to tribal nations. So there would be significant support. But I think what's more important is the flexibility and comprehensive nature of the program. It's taking to scale, as Daniela said earlier, the existing core groups, be they groups like AmeriCorps or Youth Conservation Corps, Student Conservation Association, state groups like yours in Wisconsin or local groups. But the funding would flow through the state and then be made available as grants to units of government and also to not-for-profit conservation groups. So they'd have to meet the general framework and criteria, guidelines of the national program, but it's not bureaucratic at all. And so therefore, if there's a great program out there, it's just bringing more resources to it to take it to scale to have more impact. And that's the beauty, in a way, of the Durbin bill, that it has a lot of flexibility built into it. We can get the money out quickly, get people to work, and do the work that's most relevant in their geography. And as we've said, there's a wonderful urban focus, there's rural, there's, suburbs, there are all sorts of geographies in America that don't necessarily have the same needs. And this program would allow, for them to be tailored to the things that are most important, the really priorities of those places.
So when I refer to a federalized labor force, what we're actually looking at is federalized grants doled out through the state to organizations that are looking to help out and organizations that have already been helping out?
Yes, in part. But almost half of the funding, 40%, would go to federal agencies, to Department of Agriculture and Department of Interior that manage our public lands. So there would be a lot of work done directly by the federal government with core groups in our national parks, our national forests, and so forth. The other, about 60% of the funding then would go to the states. And the states could keep half of that, up to half, for their state parks and state trails and state programs. And then the other they would distribute as grants to park districts, whatever the units of government are that do green infrastructure in your region, including not-for-profit conservation land trusts. So very, very broad kind of program that touches on all these sectors.
Let's go to Dan in La Crosse this morning. Dan, you're on the morning show on the Ideas Network. Hello.
Hi. In 1978, I had just finished my master's degree in theology. You can't get many jobs in theology in rural Wisconsin. I was hired by the Kickapoo Valley Association History Project. This is one of four projects. There was conservation survey, river cleanup, local history, and alternative energy. It was federally funded, and we researched the history of the Kickapoo Valley in southwestern Wisconsin, wrote essays. We published a magazine called Kickapoo Pearls, and the river people cleaned up the river so it could be used for canoeing. The alternative energy people published a book called Kickapoo Sunrise. It really changed my life. It sparked two of my musical plays. I got into supporting family farms. And I called for UFTA, which was
UFTA.
Unemployed Wisconsin Free Trade Agreement. So I hope this gets bipartisan support and cooperation from both sides. I'd like to offer my website to the contact person if I could.
Dan, we'll put you on hold and get your details, and I appreciate your call. Daniela Pereira, is one of the things we talked about with the old Civilian Conservation Corps was it was all men and it was almost all largely white men, and it was rural projects, but that we still see the legacy of today. How does that compare to the proposal for a new Civilian Conservation Corps?
Yes, you're right. It mostly was for young white men. But before the end of the CCC, there were 80,000 Native Indigenous employed. There was a small core of African-American men. And then Eleanor Roosevelt also had a very small group. It wasn't really associated with the Corps, but it happened. And it was sort of under that auspice of women actually doing that. But as you or people know, right now it is very inclusive. A few years back during when Ken Salazar was the Secretary of the Interior, he started and brought together a group of people to sort of start to design what a 21st century conservation service corps would look like. And included in that, it was government, federal government officials, but it also had people from like the Cook Inlet Tribal Council. It had a lot of women in that. And if you go out and look at any of the core groups now, it's pretty equal in gender in terms of men and women. It also has the ability to bring LGBTQ, and there are huge cores that are made up and really focus on LGBTQ initiatives. So it is really inclusive, and I think what we want to make sure is that there is inclusivity in what we're doing, but that there's also access to people to even explore nature and be out in natural areas if they don't have access already.
Let's go,
Lee. If I could just add something very quickly,
yes.
We're very fortunate at Open Lands to have Daniela for all kinds of reasons, but she was part of that national task force that was established. So as we started working with Senator Durbin on putting a plan together, she had so much background already, which really helped jumpstart the process.
Yeah, indeed. Let's go to Mary in Rome this morning. Mary, good morning. You're on the Ideas Network.
Yes, good morning.
Hi.
Okay, now, I had spoke to you a little bit, but I'll reiterate what I said. I'd like to know where these regions would be. This is a paper mill area where the paper mills are going defunct, and I noticed every day, almost every day right now, that there are big logging trucks going up and down the road, mostly up. Would there be something that you could tell me about what there might be if this comes about in the future.
Would you be looking to get involved, Mary?
Yes.
Jerry, Daniela, what would be available to somebody like Mary in a new civilian conservation corps?
Well, maybe I'll just start here, and Daniela, please chime in. But again, as we've emphasized, the flexibility of the program. So we know that there'll be programs across the country on federal lands run by Department of Interior and Agriculture, U.S. Forest Service, and so forth. And then states will be doing things with their funding in state holdings. But then the rest of the funds, significant amount, are made available to local communities, local governments, local not-for-profits to apply. And so in this case, you know, is it Mary? If Mary has a great project, you know, she should work with her local leadership so that they can put together a proposal to address the issues and opportunities of her community.
Daniela Pereira, I'd be interested in knowing what, if any, training would be, would you think would be necessary beforehand before somebody would be able to join a new civilian conservation corps?
Yeah, that's really good. And one of the things I was going to even add is that AmeriCorps does have a seniors program. So for people who are retirees who want to give back, you know, they have that availability too. So you get expertise that way. But in terms of the education and training, you know, it's going to be different in all different cases. I feel like right now there has been so much focus and attention on really connecting young people to nature. And by doing this, you know, with some of, for example, we have WEF, which is the Water Environmental Federation. They have been giving training on green infrastructure maintenance to many communities all over, and that's a huge piece. In the original Civilian Conservation Corps, they educated over 40,000 illiterates and taught them how to read and write. And I mean, getting people into getting their GEDs, making sure that they have a high school diploma, but then also are really trained for careers in the future, of the future. And if that is through registered apprenticeships or, you know, online training, there are so many different ways now that we're able to do this. But I always say the best thing you could do, even if you have an environmental degree from college, is you really need to get out there and practice what you preach and get trained to do the physical labor of it. That helps you really understand how to get the job done.
So,
and in the Durbin bill, that's a central feature, the training and apprenticeship component. It's not just giving people temporary jobs, but it's also introducing them to new skills and to new career opportunities. There's also a stipend at the end of, if you put in one full year, there's a $5,000 stipend for continuing education.
Wow. We're talking about a proposal to start a new civilian conservation corps with two members of Open Lands in northeastern Illinois. Jerry Adelman leads the organization. Daniela Pereira is vice president of community conservation. And we're interested in knowing what you think. If you can look out your window and see projects that could be done by something like the new CCC or projects that are being done locally by conservation corps, be interested in hearing from you before we're done this morning at 1-800-642-1234 or email us ideas at WPR.org. Your calls and our conversation with Gerald Adelman and Daniela Pereira continue. I'm Lee Rayburn. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. We've been taking this hour to look at a proposal for a new civilian conservation corps with our history in our rearview mirror, an understanding of what the old civilian conservation corps did here in Wisconsin before it was broken up at the outset of World War II. In Wisconsin, more than 90,000 people worked for the old CC and C, and 75,000 of them were from right here in our state. I'm Lee Rayburn, and this is The Morning Show, and we'd be interested in knowing what you think about a new Civilian Conservation Corps, a federal program nationwide, and helping out with state grants through smaller programs across Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 is the number to the studio, or email us ideas at WPR.org. Our guest, Gerald Adelman, is president and CEO of Open Lands, and Daniela Pereira is the organization's vice president of community conservation. We'll go to David in Ironwood, Michigan this morning. David, good morning. You're on the morning show.
Yes, I want to point out, I recently saw a show on PBS showing that forests help decrease droughts and both droughts and floods. And it's something that everyone can do. I mean, plant a tree in your yard. You need shows like this at least once a day to show people what they can do to help climate. Because we got to have 10 years. Like Chicago, that green roof thing where they plant greenery on top of the buildings.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Air conditioning costs.
Well, David, you bring up a point that we haven't really focused on yet. And Jerry and Danielle, I'd be interested in knowing the old Civilian Conservation Corps we see as rural projects, reforestation, planting trees. But what about the urban projects that the cities of Wisconsin might benefit from under a proposal for a new Civilian Conservation Corps?
Well, I think there's just a huge menu of opportunities. Obviously, reforestation, huge. Creation of new green spaces, new parks and trails within urban settings. As Danielle had pointed out before, the power of green schoolyards, especially in flood-prone neighborhoods, that they can absorb stormwater, address heat islands, but create wonderful learning environments for the school community and for neighbors. Addressing, brownfield issues, restoring them, constructing rain gardens and pollinator gardens, urban farms. I mean, there's so many things that can happen within a city and a large metro area that do address climate, that create jobs, that introduce people to new careers.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes people forget that all of this greenery are actual natural climate solutions. It's maybe not as great sometimes as some of the reduction in energy costs that, we really need to do in order to agree with the Paris Climate Agreement. But, close to 40% of us reaching those goals is by having healthy green space, and that has to happen in urban areas, too.
Phone number to the studio is 1-800-642-1234, and we are running out of time to get your input on a proposal for a new federal civilian conservation corps. Joni in Watertown is joining us now. Good morning, Joni.
Good morning. I have a couple of concerns. One is that how vitally important it is that we are educated about the ecology, the ecology of the natural environment that we're quote-unquote beautifying. And I'm concerned that some big industry like the fossil fuel industry, for instance, with their petrochemical plants that they're building and have been building, that they're not going to be coming in and, putting up plastic barriers and in these wilderness places. You know, when you look at what the CCC has left us, it's very beautiful, created bridges and abutments that are created with the rocks and natural things that are right there in the area. So it enhances the wild ecology of the area. I'm concerned about that.
Jerry? Because of the major focus on education, I think what we'd see is a whole new generation of people from diverse backgrounds who maybe before never thought about ecological issues who become advocates. That was what happened with the CCC, the New Deal CCC. These young men, came from all over the country. Very few of them had any knowledge about the environment or ecology. They learned so much, and they, in turn, really were the foundation for the popular environmental movement that emerged after World War II.
But Joni seemed concerned about the politics of the big business of an infrastructure bill and whether or not big business would get involved in a way that could undermine the goals of a new conservation corps.
Those are huge issues, and I think we all have to monitor very closely how this moves forward, because not all roads and bridges are equal and have the same benefit. And so these large gray infrastructure projects, which we need, to replace our water pipes, that are lead. We need to address, deferred maintenance on our highways and roads and bridges and on. But we need to do it in an ecologically responsible way.
So Joni's concerns are valid, but we just have to be, you would have to be diligent in keeping an eye on what moves forward with a proposal like this.
And I would say, you know, building advocates for nature, the best way to do that, or one of the best ways to do that, is to provide jobs in this field. Because as you're doing the work, you're learning about the preserving, protecting, you know, promoting, you know, these public and tribal lands, but you're learning the ecology at the same time that you might be like shoveling, you know, lines out for fire breaks. Yeah. So to me, yes, you know, we always have to be advocates and keep our eyes out there. But the more people that we're actually promoting and building into this stewardship pipeline, the more voices we'll have out there to push back on that.
And Lee, you know, 80% of Americans now live in metropolitan areas, cities and suburbs. If we aren't connecting those populations to these issues, they're not going to become the advocates we need. And so a program like this that would play out across the country in rural and wilderness areas as well as in our cities could really achieve some significant cultural goals, if you want, as well as the impact on the ground.
Jerry Adelman is president and CEO of Open Lands. Daniela Pereira, the organization's vice president of community conversation, and they are our guests. Chet from Green Bay wants to know, with a proposal like this of over $50 billion stretched out over 5 years, where's the money going to come from?
You know, that's the big question in Washington today. You know, the president is proposing various strategies. Those are things kind of beyond our control. We want to make sure that the program that will move forward is well-structured, impactful, will actually return on that investment significant dollars and impact. Where it's coming from, you know, that's really up to our elected officials. They're debating those questions as we talk this morning in Washington.
Let's go to Katie. Daniela, go ahead.
That's all right. I would say that, you know, the original Civilian Conservation Corps, you know, really did happen around the Great Depression, and they were able to come up with, you know, $3 billion to be able to do this. And I think that long-term effects of bringing more people to natural areas, you're getting outdoor recreation to, like, really be benefited. You're making sure that local economies are, you know, have a lot of people, you know, that you're increasing the wealth in those communities too. So it is like, where are we going to get the money? But it's also, what impact will this have? And I think that could be so much greater.
What's the cost? What's the opportunity? And what's the opportunity cost as we move forward? And as we're wrapping up here this morning, Jerry, finally, if folks are in support of this proposal for a new Civilian Conservation Corps in Wisconsin, what can they do to move the ball forward?
They should reach out to their members of Congress and say that they support a program. If they want to say they support the Durbin bill, that's fine, but quite frankly, it's supporting a program in general. And I think that we, as advocates who see the value of this, we need to make our voices heard. And so that's the best thing that one could do right now.
Jerry, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's been a pleasure.
Jerry Adelman is the president and CEO of Open Lands, and Daniela Pereira, thank you as well to you.
Take care.
You as well. Daniela Pereira is the Open Lands Vice President of Community Conversation. Thank you for being a part of our conversation this morning. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent, and you are listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.